Parshas Yisro, it's a Tafshin Ayin Aleph. We're going to start out with a very uncomplicated question, okay? Perek Yutes, Perek 19, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Pasuk 17, okay? It says, Vayetze Moshe Esa'am, Moshe went and brought out the people, Likrat Elokim, to greet Elokim, Min Hamachana, from the camp, etc., and they stood at the base of the mountain. Now, here there is, as there always is, pretty much on all the psukim in the Torah, a medrash that tells us the background information about what this pasuk is alluding to. Okay? So the medrash, Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, it says that what happened here was that v'yishnu Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael, were sleeping into 2 hours of the day. It means after sunrise, 2 more hours. And Vayetze Moshe Lamachana, Moshe went out to the camp, to where the people were. V'hayim Or Osam Mishinasam, and he had to wake them up from their sleep. Amar Lehem, he said to them, Imdu, get up, stand up, Mishinaschem, from your sleep. Kvar ba hachasan umavakesh et hakala, the chatan has already come, the groom, that's Hashem, and he's waiting, he's looking for the kala, lachnisa l'chuppah, to bring her under the chuppah, mantinlah, and he's waiting for her, kidei litain lahem es haTorah, he's waiting to give the Jewish people the Torah. So, that's the pasuk. Okay. The pasuk is saying that Moshe had to go out and wake up the Jewish people and urge them to get up and say, Hashem is already there at Har Sinai, okay, which we're camped in front of, a little bit of a walk, waiting to give you the Torah. You have to come here and accept it. So what's the most obvious basic question here? How in the world could the Jewish people be sleeping on the morning of Mamad Har Sinai, is the experiences, you know, the eventually what would become the great revelation of Har Sinai, when they knew already? As if you just go back a few psukim, just look back a little bit, you'll see that Moshe put in a lot of effort to teach them that they had to prepare and get ready and elevate themselves spiritually, wash their clothing, men and women should separate from each other so that they'd be on a purer level without other thoughts, and prepare themselves in prayer, in their mind, meditation, everything necessary to get themselves in a state of mind so they can be ready, prepared to experience the giving of the Torah. And so this is all they've been doing for 3 days, knowing that what they're about to experience is the greatest revelation, greater than what they had just experienced on the Yam Suf. And that was so great, what they experienced at the splitting of the sea, that we know, and we've spoken about this, that Chazal say that what a regular average maidservant, in other words, a regular person not with any developed education or anything, what they experienced with that type of the intensity of the revelation was greater than what eventually the great, great prophet Yechezkel would merit to experience. And this Har Sinai, this experience of the giving of the Torah in Har Sinai, would be much greater than that. And so they were preparing for this already for days. It was the whole point that they left Mitzrayim. It was the whole point that Hashem put them into Mitzrayim. They have been preparing for this for hundreds of years, okay? And here the morning of the events of Sinai, the great revelation, the morning breaks and they're sleeping. And Moshe has to wake them up and tell them, imdu, stand up, which, is, by the way, is a very specific word which we're going to focus on a lot today, the concept of standing. Stand up and come, because the way you're going to receive the Torah is that Hashem is on Har Sinai and He wants to give it to you. So that's a very obvious, fundamental question. And you realize that unless you look into Chazal, you can't really make much sense of the Torah because it doesn't write in essay form. It writes in cryptic form with allusions to much deeper concepts. Okay. So the reason, my grandfather Schwab explains, that they were under a misconception, which is why they were sleeping. okay? The misconception that they were under is what we know turn now to Bahaloscha. The misconception that they were under is how they were going to experience the giving of the Torah. Turn to Bahaloscha. It's in Sefer Bamidbar, the third Sefer. Somebody find the page. Chapter 12. Okay. Chapter 12, Pasuk 6. Okay, who has it?
794.
Is that it? 794? Yes? Okay, everyone have it? Has it? This is the episode where Miriam and Aaron commented on Moshe's practice of being separated from his wife, which was a separate issue. And Hashem appeared to them, and he wanted to teach them the difference between Moshe and all other prophets and why they should not criticize Moshe's behavior, because he's not like every other prophet. So he explained to them the following. Im yiyen neviyachem Hashem. If you would consider, or have really, all the people that are Nevi'im of Hashem, regarding all people that are Nevi'ei Hashem, prophets of God, Hashem says, Bimara Elav Isvada, in a vision I make myself known to them, Bechalom Adaberbo, in a dream I speak to them. That's what Hashem spoke, told Miriam and Aaron. You're right, with every Navi except Moshe, they experience a revelation in some type of night vision or dream. Klal Yisrael here expected that the revelation of what we call Matan Torah would take place, as it always does for every Navi that ever lived, in a dream, while they were sleeping. So this sleep of that morning of Mamad Har Sinai was not a silly, you know, reckless, you know, sleep of people who didn't, who just overslept because they didn't really realize the importance of what was going to happen. They put themselves into a sleep that was the final result of days and actually weeks before of intense spiritual preparation, so that they could merit a Giloy Shechina, a vision, as it always is for prophets, in a dream. What they did not understand was that something else was going to happen to them, which was much greater than receiving prophecy. We have a few names for the experience of Har Sinai. We have a name, which we call that event, Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. But we also call that event, and here comes the word with the Shoresh Omeid, like Moshe said, get up, stand up, right? Moshe said to them, Imdu, get up. We call this event Mamad Har Sinai, right? We call it the standing, really, at Har Sinai. We also call this event, not just Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, we call this event Kabbalah Satorah, the receiving of the Torah. The most important thing that happened at this event was not the prophecy that they experienced. What was more important than all of that was the Kabbalah Satorah, the receiving of the Torah. Because when we talk about receiving of the Torah, that relates to Klal Yisrael and what Klal Yisrael did. In other words, the role they played, not that they were passive receivers, but Kabbalah, accepting, receiving means they played an active role. And that's why they had to get up and experience and begin to participate in something and not just sleep and receive a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this concept of what Klal Yisrael had to do, which we call Kabbalah Satorah, is another way of saying what Klal Yisrael were really going to experience here is Limud HaTorah, learning Torah, and not just any type of learning Torah. When we talk about learning Torah, we talk about learning Torah mipi hagvura, from Hashem himself, being taught Torah from God himself. Now, you know, we all know, that in order to receive what you're being taught, there has to be an active participation of the person's mind, an engagement of the mind with the information that's coming to them. the more a person struggles and toils and applies themselves to understand the knowledge, the more a person delves into the knowledge, you know, works with every element of their intellectual ability to try to comprehend what this means. And the Torah, of all so-called forms of information or sciences, much more complicated, the most complicated science and math in terms of getting through all the layers and levels of it. And yet it's also very simple and very straightforward, but there's so much to it. And as much as a person delves into it, the deeper and deeper and deeper they go, and the more they see how every aspect of Torah is interrelated to every other aspect of Torah, and everything is one holistic system, and all of history is a holistic system, and the entire creation is a holistic system, and the place of people in creation with the Torah and the mitzvahs, it's all part of one system. The deeper and deeper a person goes, the more their mind expands. And that limud, that learning Torah, is very much part of the person's work and is dependent on the person. So the degree and depth they delve into it, that's the degree of expansion of the mind and enlightenment that they receive. Here was an opportunity for Klal Yisrael to learn Torah from Hashem Himself. Now, we know a fundamental principle which at first glance is almost counterintuitive, and that is that in the Gemara it says, Chacham Adif Minavi. A person who develops Chachma through their own hard work is preferable to a Navi. A Navi receives a revelation, but a Chacham takes the information that he knows or she knows and delves into it. And the difference is this. When a person is sleeping and their mind is in a sense like a vessel, and Nevuah comes to that person, then what happens is we are taught that it's a very traumatic experience for the Navi. Their body shakes. They're not in control of their physical, you know, their muscles, their physical self at all. Their mind moves into another, is brought into another dimension, and they see things that they could not know with their own wisdom. But what happens here is, when there's Nevuah, that the knowledge, and we've spoken about this a number of times, and the knower are not one and the same. The knower is exposed to knowledge coming from a greater place, knowledge that reveals to them what they could not know, what they do not know, and which they, of course, have to convey or have to begin to then integrate. So that the information, the Nevuah, is something of a revelation, but the Navi does not work to get to that knowledge on their own. However, Limud Torah, learning Torah, why the Gemara says a Chacham is more preferable than a Navi, is because everything that that person acquires is due to their own hard work, and therefore it's established forever within the person and within their psyche. And what we've spoken about this so many times, the person achieves Das. Das is a form of knowledge that specifically means that what a person knows and has learned, and what they are able to integrate, in other words, what their gut feel, what their inner convictions are sure of, and therefore what all their responses in immediately are one and the same. What you know to be true and what you automatically react to in truth, in other words, your reactions are the same as what you know, unlike what happens, which is tragic and sometimes unfortunately humorous, when the knower and the knowledge are not one and the same. You can have the scenario of the smoker who's watching a movie, or he being told by a doctor about the dangers of smoking, and then just smokes anyway. Or a person who knows that a certain type of food is unhealthy for them or dangerous for them, like a diabetic with sugar, and they just have to eat it anyway because they want it. Or careless words spoken in anger, or reckless choices made due to temptation or provocations. But we know as we say those things or make those choices, they are damaging and they are destructive and they're all wrong. And yet what we know and what our conviction is that right now it feels good to do this, to react this way. Right now I want to. They're, you know, the knower and the knowledge are not in the same place. And that's where you get this hypocrisy or this confusion here. we are told that learning Torah is greater than having Torah revealed to you. It's the higher level. It's higher than prophecy itself. And Torah that comes from Chochmah is real Torah, whereas Torah, after Moshe Rabbeinu, that comes from Nevuah is not accepted. For example, the famous Gemara that they were discussing, they were arguing with Chochmah what the halacha is in a certain situation. And one of the great sages said, I know, because I glimpsed into the upper spheres, that the halacha should be like this. Even though the majority is ruling the opposite, according to their chachmah, through their effort, their analysis, the entire process of deriving halacha. They said, and if the halacha is like me, so this carob tree here, it's Tu B'Shvat, by the way, carobs, this carob tree should be uprooted. This river right here, the stream should run backwards. And the carob tree uprooted itself and the stream ran backwards. And then the Sanhedrin, the body, the judicial body that decided halacha, said to them, so we don't care. That's not how halacha is decided, not from a prophet, from chachma, from human chachma, where we work through the problem, we analyze it, we argue on two sides, and majority votes, and that's how a new halacha or a new application of a law is established. Chachma is preferred to prophecy because it comes from within the person. Now, the reason that chachma is preferred is because when somebody works on something themselves, it is then established within them. That's when it's really their Torah. And they own it in a sense, and they never depart from it. Notice something fascinating. If you have a sitter, we make a few brachas in the morning called Birchas HaTorah. We've spoken about them in different contexts. And there are three basic brachas. And you have to look at the order that they're in, because it helps us understand exactly this concept. The first bracha we say in Birchas HaTorah, by the way, you can't learn talk and learning until you say them every single day, so we say them first thing. So the first bracha is La'asok b'divrei Torah. We have a mitzvah to be busy with divrei Torah, the words of Torah. To always be busy with them, to speak about them, to act according to them, to look into them, to discuss them, always be busy with divrei Torah. Then we ask Hashem to make Torah sweet, that it should be pleasurable to learn Torah, and this is very, very important because we are talking about the concept of learning Torah, and when a person learns, the only thing their mind really attaches to is something that gives them a sense of sweetness, a sense of satisfaction, something they like learning, and that's why the rule is that a person should learn whatever they want to learn. There is no halacha that every day you have to learn 3 psukim in the Chumash and 2 mishnayos and 4 gemaras and 3 different halachas. And there's no rule what you have to learn. La'olam yilmad adam kol mashal libo chavisbo. A person should learn whatever they like. You like gematrias, you like halacha, you like dikduk, you like philosophy. You learn whatever you want to learn. Okay, and because it should be sweet. The mind only attaches to knowledge that it finds pleasant, satisfying. Now, how does that bracha end? Baruch atah Hashem, hamelamed Torah la'amo Yisrael. We say, you Hashem, you're the Torah teacher. You teach us Torah, which we're going back to Har Sinai. Hashem taught them Torah at Har Sinai. And this is a bracha on learning Torah and a recognition that the Lord Torah is taught to us in a sense by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although we put in a tremendous amount of human effort. And as much as we put in effort and we derive a great satisfaction and learn the things that give us satisfaction, to that degree that we put in effort, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to us the expanse of Torah as a gift in return, so that sometimes the understandings of Torah, the revelations we get, are in much greater proportion to the Torah we have worked on. You know, it happens. You work, you learn, and you think about something, and you have a problem, and you go back and forth with it in Torah. And then, and it might happen in other areas too, when you're sleeping, or when you don't, like when you're not specifically focused on it, it comes to you. And it's the answer to what you were worried, what you were working on, what you were thinking about. Sometimes when a person puts in a tremendous amount of effort in Limud Torah, Hashem responds with giving them an understanding an expansion of their mind, which is the gift of Torah, but it doesn't come to someone who doesn't put in effort. It comes as a reaction to the effort, a response. So we ask, that is a bracha on learning Torah, that Hashem should make it sweet, and we should enjoy it and find satisfaction in it, and therefore push ourselves, and Hashem ultimately teaches us Torah. What's the next bracha after Hamalame Torah La'am Yisrael? You teach Torah to your Jewish, your nation, B'nai Yisrael. The next bracha is that you chose us and you gave us the Torah. That you taught us the Torah is first much greater than you gave us the Torah. The giving of the Torah is the prophecy, the revelation, which they expected to receive while they were sleeping, with no real involvement on their part. That is not the highest level. The highest level is to be able to learn Torah from Hashem, to engage your mind completely, open it up, get involved in the information, assimilate it, and then understand it to greater and greater degrees. That is a higher madrega. So that bracha comes first. Now, we said that it's called Ma'amad Har Sinai, Amida, standing. Right? Moshe says, Imdu, get up and stand. What is the notion of standing in relationship to learning Torah, through, in other words, investing your own efforts in receiving and understanding Torah, which is called Kabbalah Satorah, which is called Ma'amad Har Sinai, as opposed to only Matan Torah. Okay? So for this, my grandfather develops this idea even further. And we turn to Veschanan. Turn to, in the last Sefer Devarim, the second parsha of Veschanan, chapter 4, Pasuk 10. Okay? Anyone have it? Veschanan, chapter 4, Pasuk 10. 9-6. By the way, you know why we stay up Shavuos night? We call it Tikkun Leil Chatzos. Why do we stay up all Shavuos night and not sleep? But what do we do all night? Why do you learn all night, Shavuos?
Because they were sleeping.
But we just talked about why were they sleeping.
They
thought they were going to receive Torah from Nevuah. They thought they were going to learn Torah from Nevuah, and Moshe said, no, get up, you're not learning Torah from Nevuah while you're sleeping. You're going to learn Torah by being involved in the process. You're going to hear, and you're going to think, and you're going to assimilate, and you're going to work on it. It was a classroom. It was a teaching experience. So why do we learn Torah all night?
We want to accept Torah
out of our learning. Our learning, we prepare ourselves by learning all night, so then when we start the day, because the Torah is given in the morning, we experience the giving of the Torah that is born out of our learning, not out of our sleeping, out of our involvement, because here it is. In the norm in the world, it is true. The emptier the vessel, the more you can fill it. But in Ruchnius, it's exactly the opposite in spirituality. An empty vessel gains nothing by some big revelation. They don't even know how to interpret the revelation. It doesn't mean anything to them because you don't even know it's a revelation because you're empty of spirituality. The more a person is involved in growing spiritually, which means they're learning Torah and they're davening with kavana, and they're doing chesed not because they feel good, because it's the way to connect to Hashem. And they're doing all the mitzvahs as carefully as they can. And they're very involved in their spiritual life, in thought, in speech, and in action. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, somehow, someway, even in our days, in hidden ways, gives them a glimpse, shows them with some type of hidden, you know, in some hidden way that Hashem is by their side, gives them an understanding in Torah, answers a prayer in a certain way, or allows them to be successful in the mitzvahs they're trying to accomplish. And they see it. That enhances them. That motivates them further. Spirituality is only effective if it's going to be a response to someone's growth already. It takes them to the next level. So here, we want to accept the Torah. We want to experience that giving of the Torah all over again on Shavuos morning through a state of being involved and engaged in learning Torah, because then what the gift of Torah, by the way, Matan Torah, the word Matan comes from the word Matana, gift, comes from the root Matan. Hashem gives us in response to our efforts a gift, which means in greater proportion than we could achieve, we get understanding. Right? But we put in the effort first. So we want to accept Torah Shavuos morning from a state of learning, of effort, of intensity. Not just do it to me, because that doesn't affect anyone. That doesn't really change a person, as you can see in everybody's life. People have miracles that happen to them. Things that, you know, if you would ask a room, how many people here think that they experienced a miracle? You know what? 80% of the hands generally go up. But it doesn't mean it changes their lives at all, because it doesn't come from the inside. So here in Parshas Veschanan, Moshe then later, much right before he dies, he says to the Jewish people in one of his speeches, watch yourselves and teach it to your children and your grandchildren. Remember, don't forget. He says, Yom Asher Amadata Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, the day you stood before Hashem. And he invokes the word standing. Now, this is not the only time that this concept of standing at Har Sinai is used. It's constant. For example, you don't have to look up all the sources, but in this parsha, chapter 4, pasuk 11, it says that the nation, v'tekarvun v'ta'amdun, they came close and they stood. In Yisro, where we just read, v'yisyatzvu, they stood at the base of the mountain. There, back in Yisro, where our parsha, v'yar ha'am, the nation saw, v'yin'u, v'yamdu mirachok, and they stood at a distance. Again, it says there, v'yamod ha'am mirachok, they stood. Continuously referring to their standing at Har Sinai. Okay, now this is interesting, because generally, whenever there is a revelation by Hashem to the world, we see continuously that the reaction of the people is they fall on their faces. So my grandfather gives all kinds of examples. So he says here, number one, whenever it talks about a fire, a spiritual fire from God kind of descending or coming out, the reaction of all the people who witness this is to fall on their faces. So for example, here's a few examples. In Parsha Shmini, where Klal Yisrael spent a long time putting in a lot of effort to build the Mishkan, right? To build the tabernacle. And they did it precisely, exactly according to the way Moshe commanded them. And they then went through a 7-day dedication process. And on the eighth day, Yom HaShmini, the Parsha Shmini, they began for the first time to offer up a korban. And they would put it on the Mizbeach, on the altar. And they would wait to see if the fire, some type of spiritual fire, would spontaneously start. It would be a fire from Hashem. Hashem would come down, so to speak. Hashem doesn't move, but consume the korban, which would be an indication that all the efforts they put in were accepted by Hashem, and that their efforts were pure, and that Hashem was willing to accept this korban that they received. So they stood and waited to see if that fire would spontaneously start. That's a fire from God. That would be a miracle. There were open miracles in the desert, as we well know, and also in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. When that fire finally started, it says in Parsha Shmini, chapter 9, pasuk 24, "Vateitzei esh milifnei Hashem," a fire went out from before God and started consuming what was on the altar. And here's the response, "Vayar kol ha'am," the nation all saw it, "Vayaronu," and they all started to exult, "Vayiplu al pneihem," and they all fell flat on their faces. That's the reaction when you see a fire from Hashem. Another example, okay, Eliyahu, remember him on Har HaKarmel? There was a showdown between the Nevi'ei HaBaal, those prophets of the Baal, and Eliyahu. And they both put karbanos on their altars, right, sacrifices, and then there was a contest to see who would, by screaming to their respective gods, who would experience the miracle of a fire, again, spontaneously starting, in other words, God consuming the sacrifices. So it was a whole big story there. And when the fire came down, it says, "Vatipol Eish Hashem," a fire of God fell, so to speak, on the altar of Eliyahu, and it consumed the offering and also the wood, the trees. "Vayar kol ha'am," and the whole nation saw. "Vayiplu al pneihem," and they fell on their faces. "Vayomer," and they said, "Hashem hu Elokim," God, Hashem is the God, not our false concept of God. Okay?
Do you think it's not a credit for Moshe to do that?
Huh?
Do
that's a separate issue. But what we're establishing here is that when there's a fire from Hashem, the normal response is they prostrate themselves. Now on Har Sinai, there was a fire from Hashem, as the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, V'hahar bo'er ba'esh, and the whole mountain was consumed in fire. And the Pasuk also says, Har Sinai ashan kula, was the whole Har Sinai was smoking, mipnei asher yorad alav Hashem esh, because Hashem descended upon it in a fire. And yet, they were all standing. Vayamdu ha'am, the whole nation stood. Vayamod ha'am, below naflu, and they did not fall flat on their faces. So this amida is out of character, the standing business. And the standing is a very important factor. Another thing. When a Navi gets nevuah, as we established already, they're sleeping. Even the fallen, so to speak, right? They're not standing. Even Bilam refers to himself as a prophet. Now, he was the guy, the prophet of the non-Jews, remember? He says about himself in a Parshas Balak that when a Navi receives prophecy, Asher machzeh shaka yachzeh, when he sees the vision of God, nafal, he falls down. Begaloy einayim, and his eyes are open. They begin to see. But he has to fall down first. Furthermore, we know from our Yom Kippur service that when the Kohen Gadol would once a year in the holiest day, in the holiest place, the Holy of Holies, the holiest person, the Kohen Gadol, who had been also preparing and purifying himself, would utter the name of Hashem, right? We do this in Yom Kippur. What was the people's reaction? Hayu korim, they would bow, v'mishtachavim, and prostrate, u'noflim al pneihim, and fall on their faces, saying, Baruch Shem, Kavod, Malchusol, Li'olam
Ve'ed. But what if it's falling, they were voluntary, not involuntary?
Well, even if it, perhaps voluntary, or that it was such an overwhelming experience that they fell on their faces, but either way, it doesn't matter. Either way, what we're saying is the normal reaction.
But only after Mount Sinai, not before.
Though they never had this type. No one
yes,
ever
had.
Moshe,
he went to the fire. He didn't fall.
Correct. But Klal Yisrael never had a nevuah until this moment as a nation. No, they never did. Wait 1 second.
Between before and after.
So this experience is not like all the other experiences. That's the difference. It's not that there was a difference before and after Mahat Har Sinai. What was happening here was not like all the other situations. Now, we established three things here. And all three were relevant for Sinai. Number one, it was there was a fire from God, which normally you fall flat, and in Har Sinai they didn't. Number two was a nevuah, which normally you're prostrate. Here they weren't. And thirdly, it was a pronouncement of Hashem's name by God himself, not even by the Kohen Gadol, who pronounced the name of Hashem, but by Hashem himself, who said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. He himself announced, I am God, and used his name. And they did not fall flat. So this is all establishing, clearly, that what's happening here is not like any of these other experiences, which were revelations. This was an experience, as we said before, where they had a stand because this was learning Torah. Now, how do we know that learning Torah demands a person to stand? How do we know that? Because what we're talking about here is when we say standing, we have to understand what standing signifies. Why do you have to be standing when you're learning Torah? And this experience was learning Torah. By the way, notice, my grandfather points out here, that in Maseches Avos, Pirkei Avos, what did Anshei Knesset HaGedolah say about establishing a lot of Talmidim? What's the words they used? Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. When you're talking about learning, teaching, the word is establish, cause to stand up. He'emidu, cause them to stand. And by the way, the minhag, for a very, very, very long time, almost 1,000 years, we are told, is that from the time of Moshe until Rabban Gamliel, okay, which is already by the end of the Chorban by Asheni, that's a very long time, the second temple destruction, they only stood while they learned. Everybody stood, the teacher sat, and the entire student body stood. Learning was done in a state of standing. What is this with standing and Lima Torah? That's unlike every other revelation of any Navi, or hearing Hashem's name, or a fire coming out from heaven. The concept of standing is not necessarily related just to the physical position that a person is in. Okay? We say sheker, falsity, ein bo raglayim, it has no legs. When we talk about emes, okay, it has no leg to stand on, falsity. When we talk about emes, what we mean is that when a person teaches Torah, and even more so when a person tries to learn Torah, standing means establish it solidly so that it never falters. In other words, learn it and understand the truth of it. Learn it deeply. Learn every aspect of it. Learn it so that you can respond when somebody challenges you. Learn the depth of the MS of Torah so that it's firmly established in your mind and in your heart, so that it's who you are and it's your every reaction and there's no more conflict. Standing means learn Torah as a holistic system completely, so that it involves you and it consumes you and it becomes you. That's what we call by standing. That's what we mean by ha'amidu talmidim harbe, cause your talmidim to be standing, which means they should be able to stand, be established. Their learning should be solid, on solid ground. What that's trying to say is don't learn Torah like, oh, well, I don't understand it, but the Torah says it, so that's good enough for me. I don't need to know why we have to do these mitzvahs. I don't need to know anything. I just, whatever it is, whatever Hashem says, I'm good. Fine, tell me what it is and I'm done. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn Torah, to process it through our minds, to ask every single question that comes up and to answer it for ourselves so that it all makes sense and it's not contradictory and we're not left with big, huge questions. And Chazal tell us, Lo davar reik mimchem, tells us about the Torah. It's not something empty from you. And they explain that pasuk regarding the Torah. Lo davar reik, it's not empty. If you find in it some type of emptiness, that it doesn't answer your questions and you're left empty, mimchem, it's from you. It's from your lack of learning enough and more and deeply enough and working on it. It's not empty, it's perfect. It's the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Any part of it you don't comprehend or you feel isn't, something's wrong with it, it's from a lack in the person. So here when we talk about Mamad Har Sinai, we're speaking about an experience where Klal Yisrael where Hashem was forcing them, bringing them, what Hashem wanted from them is to stand, to receive the Torah, become engaged in the process of receiving the Torah, and learn Torah from that point on, so that it will be firmly established concretely within Klal Yisrael. That's all of these Lashonas, all these constant references to Amida, and that's why this was not like all these other experiences of other prophecies or revelations which came upon a person. This was entirely different. This was the Jewish people engaged in it. Now, here, what my grandfather brings down here is that there is one reference in the Torah to something we say every single day, right before we say Shema Yisrael, at the end of the bracha, which starts with the words Ahava Rabba. If you look in a siddur at this bracha, it is all about asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant us deeper and deeper and deeper levels of understanding of the Torah. It's a bracha on learning Torah. It's a bracha that our efforts in learning Torah should be graced with great results. We say, you have given with so much love, Hashem, have you been compassionate upon us? And please, we say, teach us. Avinu ha'avarachaman, our Father, our merciful Father who has endless compassion. Place into our hearts to understand, lahavin, bina, lahaskil, sechel, to understand Torah through all the different intellectual, you know, varying tools that we have. To learn lishmoa, to hear it. In other words, to hear what you're saying, not what we think we want you to be saying. Okay? Lilmo, to learn it. Lalame, to teach it. Lishmor, to preserve it. Lasos, to do it. Lakayim, to uphold it. Kol divrei Talmud Torah Secha, all of your Torah with love. Open our eyes with your Torah. Ha'eri neinu b'Torah Secha. Dabek libeinu b'mitzvah Secha, let our hearts cling to your mitzvahs. And unify our hearts, our Yetzaharan, our Yetzer Tov, to love you and to fear you, so that we should never be embarrassed by our lack of knowledge, our lack of understanding, which will be then our own fault, really, and which we'll be humiliated for. And then we say, and bring us in peace to our land. And then we add this, V'solichenu Komamiut le'artzenu. Bring us upright, standing straight to our land. Now, what does that bring us standing straight? So normally, simply you say, so bring us to Eretz Yisrael, you know, proud. But there's only one time in the Torah that that phrase, komamiut, upright, is used. So therefore, that's where it's coming from in the davening. And therefore, you have to know what it means in the Chumash to know what it means in the davening. Now, the place that this pasuk is used, okay, in davening, is here. It's used in Vayikra. You could look up this pasuk, chapter 26, Chav Vav, pasuk 13. Okay, 26:13. Here's the pasuk. Okay, Hashem says to the Jewish people, okay, regarding their exodus from Egypt, Ve'eshbar motos ulchem, and I broke the poles of your yoke, Ve'olech eschem kol mamiut, and I led you upright. The simple meaning of this pasuk is, and this comes from my grandfather's sefer on tefillah, that when Hashem took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he broke the yoke of their Egyptian slavery and brought them out standing straight for the sole purpose of receiving the Torah on Har Sinai, which he describes as in an upright posture. So this bracha for Torah, which asks Hashem at the end of it to lead us upright, is a reference to the fact that Hashem brought the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim in an upright position to receive Torah. It's all about Torah. This bracha is about Torah. The reference is about Torah, that somehow you receive Torah in an upright position. Okay? Now, my grandfather writes here that when he was in yeshiva with the famed mashgiach in the Mir Yeshiva, Rav Yerucham Levavitz, he said that Rav Yerucham Levavitz was troubled, and he promised the bachurim, any bachur could answer the question he had on this, would get 10 zlotas. His question was that we're always told that a person should never walk upright. They should always walk in a little bit more of a humble posture. So how do we say here that we expect to be marching upright? What is the notion of upright that has nothing to do with not being humble? It can't be a contradiction to the concept that the person should maintain a certain humility. This uprightness must be something different. What is it? So our grandfather said that he didn't know what that... And when he didn't have an answer. But now, much later in life, after going through all of life's experiences, he feels that he has an answer that his mashgiach would have been very pleased with. Mm-hmm. And he explains that what komamiut means, upright, which relates to what we're talking about, mamad har Sinai, you have to be standing, because it means to establish it firmly on 2 feet, that it's stable, concrete, and it'll last forever, and you can pass it on to your children. That type of knowledge, that's called standing. The standing position itself is not that relevant. That the information is established is what we're trying to say. He says that komamius means stretched to one's full height. You know, he says when you go to a doctor's office, you try to stand as straight as you can when he measures you. In other words, what we're saying here is all the nisim that the fact that Hashem put the Jewish people into Golus, which we have been speaking about the number of last few parshas, the fact that he put us into the difficulties and the persecutions, and through that we learned many basic things and became a people of a particular nature, just and kind, and then Hashem took us out amidst great miracles, and then brought us to the sea, as we spoke about last week, with all of the tension and drama, so that we could muster up from within ourselves these pure and perfect prayers, right? And then split the sea for us so that we could see behind the veil of what our prayers were really doing in the spiritual world. And then showed us pure justice and truth by drowning the Egyptians, each one according to their level. And then brought us into a desert, etc. We talked about this, and brought us to Har Sinai. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu did through this entire process up to Har Sinai is he was engaged in stretching the Jewish people spiritually up to their full height. In other words, extending, maximizing the spiritual potential of the Jewish people, pushing them into situations that drew forth from them their greatest spiritual achievements, the greatest attachment to Hashem, the greatest emunah, trust, the greatest awareness that Hashem is not only creator, back then, ruler, which means in charge every day, but also defines the purpose of the world, not just the cause of the world, but the purpose. The purpose is that human beings should have a connection to Hashem. And Hashem brought them closer and closer to this intuitive awareness, this conviction through their own experiences. And when they were stretched to their full height, where they spiritually had been forced to achieve greater and greater madrigas levels, then they were ready to learn Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to appreciate, to be given the Torah, and then not just be given it as they were passive, but that the Torah that they're being taught draws on their previous experiences and their previous madrigas that they've achieved and enlightens them and expands their mind and gives them a glimpse of how much more there is to go. That's called standing, receiving Torah in a state of being upright. The more a person is maximized spiritually, the more a person is stretched to their fullest potential, the more they can, from that position and that perspective, learn and understand and appreciate Torah more. It's a different kind of Torah that is, you know, given to someone who knows very little, who's like a tabula rasa, an empty slate, than Torah, that learning Torah to a person who's lived and become wiser through all the many challenges and experiences of life. Look, I got to tell you the truth. When I hear some of my classes from like 10 years ago, I cringe. In fact, I called up Zalman Umlis, the guy who for 25 years has been taping all my classes. I called him up a while ago and I said, I command you to destroy every single tape of mine you have. And if you even don't destroy one, it's Geneva. I don't want to ever hear them or see them or have anyone hear them again. Because when I hear them now, the truth is, from Baruch Hashem, my privilege of having been able to teach, which forces me to learn, you always understand more. And with life, with experiences, with challenges, with the people you meet, you just progress. You get more chachma, and then the Torah means a whole, you learn Torah, a whole, you begin to see things and understand things and understand chazal and understand chazals that didn't make sense to you before, that you didn't connect to. Torah grows according to the person's growth. What we say here is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klal Yisrael to, when they were taught Torah by Hashem himself, to be able to experience that from a place of being stretched to their spiritual limits, then the Torah would mean something, would be established, they'd be standing, Torah would be, you know, would be established in them, and that Torah is the only Torah that lasts. Any revelation that comes to a person from outside themselves doesn't last. It doesn't utterly change them. It doesn't transform them. The only thing that transforms a person is what comes from their inner recognition, their experiences, their own work, their own effort. That is the only thing that lasts for a person. That is truly that person's possession. And Hashem wanted Torah to be our possession so that we pass it on forever. And the fact that Hashem did all of this is exactly why every one of us is here right now. Otherwise, we would not be here. If it was all miracles, our ancestors would have abandoned it long, long, long ago. It's only because it's deeply, deeply integrated in Klal Yisrael through the effort that our ancestors have all put into learning Torah in the most horrible situations, through the biggest stress and persecution, and that they learn Torah with the Mesiras Nefesh and try to live by it. And, by the way, something unbelievable. It was the time of the greatest stress that our greatest contributions of Torah came to us. For example, Rashi and the Rishonim and Rambam, they all were writing in a time of crusades and persecutions and blood libels. Rashi's manuscripts were burnt. He had to write the entire Chumash and Gemara all over again. Rambam wrote the Mor Nevuchim, the Mishnah Torah, when he was in hiding, running away from the anti-Semitic church, and there was always fights in his day between the church and the Muslims, and etc. He had to go into hiding at one point, and that's where he wrote the great works. In fact, it was right after the Khmelnytsky massacres that all the great Acharonim came and produced all the great things, the Noda B'Yehuda and the Vilna Gaon, and of course the Baal Shem Tov. It comes after and as a result of great Mesiras Nefesh by Klal Yisrael to stay attached to Torah, then great new advances are made in Torah. And we mentioned this last week. The Mesiras Nefesh of the Jewish people to stay attached to Torah during the Holocaust is the reason that today there's been a huge explosion of Torah learning unheard of in Klal Yisrael. There are more yeshivas today than there ever were. And my grandfather points out the great thirst by women that in this generation and to learn Torah is a result of the Mesiras Nefesh of the women of the generation of the Holocaust, because an attachment to Torah that comes from within ourselves yields for us great new advances in Torah, great new levels of Torah being kind of revealed to us even now through women, and this is because only Torah that you work for and that you put effort into becomes yours and is established and is passed on. And I just want to end with one point. The first parak in Tehillim, it talks about Hashem's Torah. It says, "Ki b'toras Hashem cheftzo." Talking about a righteous person, Hashem's Torah is his desire. And then the next words are, "B'toraso yege yomam balayla." And in his own Torah, he delves night and day, night and day. And Chazal say that what just happened is Hashem's Torah, and now it's called his own Torah. So Chazal say, first it's Hashem's Torah, but when you put in effort, then it's yours and it's called on your name. And by the way, do you know what Hashem calls this Torah? He says to the Jewish people, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. He calls the Torah Toras Moshe. Moshe didn't write the Torah on his own. Every word was dictated for Hashem, but because Moshe was the person, Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher, who put in more effort than any human being to ever understand and convey Torah, the Torah is called Torah Moshe. It's Moshe's Torah. So Mamad Har Sinai, the main important thing here is, it was not just a revelation, it was an opportunity to learn Torah, and that's why when we make the bracha every morning, Hamalameh Torah La'am Yisrael, you teach Torah to your people, Klal Yisrael, what we're really asking for is, Hashem, if we put in our effort as much as we can to learn your Torah, you will allow our human limited minds to comprehend the greatest secrets of the universe, the greatest truths, in even in greater proportion to the effort we put in. This is because you, Hashem, are our teacher, and we're learning from you, not just getting a revelation from you. And when we work together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbe, and Klal Yisrael, the Talmid, and the students, then that's how Hashem wants us to be attached to him, through learning, and that's what Torah is established. Oh, I have to say one more thing. In Shema, it says, Vishinantam Livanechem, you should teach your sons, or your children. Rashi says there, Talmidim Elu Habanim, your students are your children. And that's very important, because that means that when Hashem calls the Jewish people my children, Banim Atem LaShem, you are children to Hashem, this means, according to our sages, the more a person is a Talmid, the more a person learns Torah, the more they are Hashem's child. If children means Talmidim, then you're not automatically, the more you learn, the more you are Hashem's child. It's, in other words, we establish that status of being Hashem's children. It's not an automatic thing. It doesn't just, right? So it's all about our relationship to Hashem is based on our learning Hashem's Torah. And by the way, you can learn not just through intellectual information, you learn through life experience, you learn through mitzvahs, you learn through chesed, you learn through your tefillah, your prayer, you learn through looking at yourself objectively, perfecting yourself. You, of course, also learn Torah, which is critical. But there are many ways to absorb knowledge and become a Talmud of Hashem. Okay. Now, any questions?
Is there?
Yes, go ahead. Part of that is spiritually not to let us be, in a sense, not to let us succumb to our subjective perspective of things, but to always give us emunah and strength to see things correctly from Hashem's perspective, which means to help us stand up straight, to push us and get to a point where we gain from the challenges and don't crumble from them. It's definitely asking Hashem, it's an emunah, it's a trust, it's asking Hashem to give us strength. Yeah.
At Har Sinai, they end up dying before they go It's overwhelming for them. This is true. But then they're resurrected, right? Chazal say, whatever it means, they're to stand up again. So Hashem is attempting to force them to get to a high.
Yes, we're on next week. Yes, Mirza Hashem, we're on next week. Oh, yes, everybody stop for a second.